until the Memphis Grizzlies fix that and they bring in high IQ contributors, not just guys on the bench, end of the bench. I'm talking about low IQ, some of the best players getting meaningful playing time. They're never going to win a championship. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike Philbin here with the Sports and the Real Shit Podcast. Once again, thanks for joining me, everybody. We got another playoff episode coming up. Basketball's back out. But before I get into that, I want to say, once again, I appreciate your support. Continue to like, subscribe, share, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you find me. Thanks a lot. Social media, everything. All right, let's jump right into it. So today's episode, we're going to do a recap of round one. I have quite a bit to say on that, to be honest with you. The first round was actually kind of disappointing in the NBA playoffs. Can't front with you. Kind of disappointing. Expected better. Some things were controllable. Some things weren't. But I'm going to get into that. And then do a quick touch on what I think is going to happen in round two. I'm not going to do as deep of a dive in for round two predictions, because clearly I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Neither does anybody else. So we're all just guessing and hoping what we say happens. But seriously, though, we'll touch on that in the second part of today's episode. All right, so jumping right into it. Like I said, round one was disappointing, man. And the biggest disappointment in round one to me, I'm going to just come right out and say it, were the Memphis Grizzlies, all right? I said I thought the Grizzlies would win the series in six games, 4-2. Even though I was hoping that AD would play great and dominate, which he really didn't. But somehow, Memphis lost six games. And really, it wasn't even that close. So here's what I got to say about the Grizzlies. The Memphis Grizzlies need to grow up. They need to mature. And I said that in my predictions for round one. The Memphis Grizzlies, in order for them to win at the highest level, they need to mature. And clearly, they didn't do that. Secondly, the Memphis Grizzlies are never going to win as constructed, because as a team, their overall IQ is low. I'm sorry. I know everyone wants to blame Dylan Brooks, but it ain't all on Dylan Brooks, man. And when I'm recording this late, by the way, parentheses. I'm recording this late because I had some family obligations this weekend. Shout out to family members who have kids in the wrong season. All right. Nah, but seriously, though. The Memphis Grizzlies' IQ overall is low. So I'm recording this on the day, Tuesday. The Memphis Grizzlies pretty much threw shams, right? Put out a statement that they essentially have no intentions of bringing back Dylan Brooks. They're making him the scapegoat, saying, you know, under no conditions will we bring back Dylan Brooks. And yeah, I get it. Dylan Brooks was kind of the representative of them having playing low IQ basketball. For someone who talks so much, he wasn't that good. I'm going to just say he wasn't that good. But he ain't the only one on that team. And that's their problem, is that overall, their best players don't play with the highest IQ basketball. All right? There, I said it. I couldn't hold it no more. Their best players don't play smart basketball. And if you're going to beat LeBron James, not only do you have to be uber talented and great at basketball, but you have to play smart basketball. That's why he ran the East for so long. It's not that he was just the greatest player. It's that he was also the smartest. And nobody was able to put a team to compete with him either physically nor mentally. So the Memphis Grizzlies have a better roster than the Los Angeles Lakers. And they were all puffing their chests, talking about, we're not worried about the West in the regular season, this and that. Dylan Brooks talking trash to LeBron. Their team is just, it's a bunch of guys. They have a couple high IQ guys. Unfortunately, those guys aren't their best players. And if you're going to win, you need your best players to be also high IQ. The reason why the Warriors won so much in their heyday, in their dynasty years, is because not only were they so great and talented, but they were also full of high IQ cats. Steph and Klay, Draymond, one of the smartest guys in the league. And then they had Iguodala and Sean Livingston. Like, guys who just know how to play basketball. Unfortunately, the Memphis Grizzlies only have a couple of those guys, and those guys aren't the best on their team. So oftentimes, we get caught up in players who are great athletes and wow us. But unfortunately, those guys, when it comes down to it, aren't the best when it comes to knowing how to play basketball. High IQ guys, they're just not. They don't have them on their team. So I compare the Memphis Grizzlies to guys, you know, at the gym, regular gym, LA Fitness, Lifetime Fitness, whatever gym you play at, Boys and Girls Club, Church League, whatever gym you play at, I compare the Memphis Grizzlies to these guys. They're athletic, they can hoop, but they're just not that smart. And they make dumb plays and they take bad shots. And you often wonder, why does this guy not win more when he's on the court? Or why does nobody want to play with this cat? This cat should be running the gym, but he can't. Because he's low IQ. The Memphis Grizzlies are that guy in the gym with low IQ. And until they fix that, they're never going to win. I'm going to say it right now. Until the Memphis Grizzlies fix that and they bring in high IQ contributors, not just guys on the bench, end of the bench. I'm talking about low IQ, some of the best players getting meaningful playing time, they're never going to win a championship. So I don't know, man. So they were the most disappointing story in the first round of the playoffs, and I had to get that off my chest, man. These guys know how to play, but they're not mature, and they just don't play smart basketball. And yeah, everybody looks at Dylan Brooks, but it ain't just him. Yeah, so I don't know where they go from here. They gotta find somebody to bring in to help this team out, or they need to grow up and mature, and learn how to play smart basketball. Like, think about it. Think of all the dynasty teams, all the great teams. Like, they just play smart basketball. Like the Heatles, those guys were great, but they play smart basketball. The Jordan years, like Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, like Dennis Rodman was one of the smartest cats to ever play on the basketball court. People clown this dude. You know, he was a showman, this and that. One of the smartest cats to play basketball. Scottie, one of the smartest guys ever. Michael Jordan, same thing. So you really had three of the most best athletes, best basketball players at what they did. And three of the smartest guys on a basketball team, of course they were going to run the league. Same thing with the Heatles. Same thing with the Warriors. So when you look at your favorite team, ask yourself, are my guys just good at basketball, meaning they could shoot and jump? Or do they play smart basketball? Can they think the game? Because in the playoffs, when things get tight and defenses adjust, and things aren't as free-flowing, can you think the game? Can you make the smart pass, the extra pass? Can you not take a bad shot in crunch time? you know, teams tried to copy the Golden State Warriors and just get a bunch of shooters out there, right? Or we're just going to get a bunch of three-point shooters and we're going to be like the Warriors negative. No. Because what the Warriors do is their three-pointer actually sets you up. So they're not always taking the 25-foot jump shot. That's just what, you know, makes the news. The 30-footer from Steph. That makes the highlights. What they're doing is setting you up so that they give you a head fake and then the lane is wide open. They're getting easy layups. But everybody else, just settling for 28-foot jump shots, step backs all the time. That's just bad basketball. I don't care what the analytics say. In the playoffs, you better have actual game, knowledge of the game, how to play basketball. And the Memphis Grizzlies didn't have that. Very disappointing. So that was the Grizzlies. I'll stick to the West because I got another rant. I'm sorry, y'all. The Nuggets beat the T-Wolves, but they're not that impressive to me. Even though, as I'm recording this, they're up 2-0 on the Suns. But the Suns aren't that impressive either. Even though Devin Booker went crazy in round one, I made the prediction that the Suns would beat the Clippers in seven. In round one, but Kawhi got hurt, so, you know, they beat him in, like, what, five it was? But the Suns weren't as impressive either. A Kawhi-less Clippers had him on the ropes a couple times, all right? They played with him. So the Suns weren't impressive. The Nuggets weren't impressive. Warriors, Kings, all I can say about that is that one I wasn't 100% accurate. Steph Curry, though, if he wasn't before, if he wasn't in before, Steph Curry's an all-timer, man, and nothing else to say. And what I predicted was that the Kings would lose in six because they were inexperienced. They actually proved me wrong. They went to seven. But their inexperience proved out to be true in game seven. Meanwhile, the Warriors' experience proved out. Even though the rest of the team struggled, Steph Curry's experience showed up and showed out. But dude is an all-timer, man. His shot-making, his intelligence. We need to appreciate Steph for his greatness because when he's gone, ain't nobody like him coming back, y'all. We ain't gonna get another Steph Curry. This brother's a legend. Another disappointment in that series, though, was Sabonis. I was hoping for a tough matchup of Sabonis and Draymond. First couple of games, maybe. After that, no call, no show. So Sabonis is a good regular season player, apparently. But in the playoffs, I mean, this guy's flopping all over the place, flailing and not getting calls, and looks like he forgot how to play basketball. It was a tough watch. I ain't gonna lie to you. It was tough watching Sabonis. So he was gone most of the time, all right? And he kind of self-checked. It wasn't even Draymond. He self-checked. So that was pretty much the West, all right? That, man, I was expecting more. Kawhi got hurt, of course. PG was already hurt for the Clippers. Yo, how does Kawhi get hurt when he's load managing the whole season? I'm telling you, this load managing thing is pointless. You're either going to get hurt or you're not. So Kawhi got hurt, kind of threw everything off in that series, and that was that. But Booker was amazing. But now they're down 2-0 to the Nuggets, who have a real team. So what gives? That's basketball. All right, that was the West. On to the East. The Milwaukee Bucks choked. The Milwaukee Bucks choked. I made a video, a quick video of this for TikTok. Giannis still needs a jump shot. Listen, I love Giannis, man. I think he's the best player in the league. He goes hard all the time. Every play, every game, 100%. But Giannis still needs a jumper that's reliable, and he needs either a jumper that's reliable if he's going to keep playing point forward, or if he's going to get his butt down in the paint, like some actual post move, so he's not just bullying people over and collecting fouls. So you're watching the game and the series. Listen, man, Eric Spoelstra, first of all, is one of the best coaches ever. Bam is a really good defender. So you're not just going to sit there and plow into the lane and get all your points, okay? So you, and if you're going to play in a playoff big boy basketball and beat teams on the way to a championship that where everybody's not hurt like you did when you won a championship, we ain't going to say nothing. I posted on social media that championship the Bucks won has actually provided Giannis cover for the fact that he still hasn't developed a jump shot, a reliable jump shot, or any kind of moves, right? Post moves. So if you have a good defender and a smart coach, teams are just going to pack the paint. And he might get some numbers, but in crunch time, it's going to be tough. So the Bucks choked. But here's what I want to say about Giannis. Like I said, I love Giannis. I think he's the best in the league. If he's not the best, he's no more than third best, all right? Giannis is actually one of the guys, right? People always talk about mama mentality. Giannis is actually one of the only guys who actually plays like mama mentality. Like, he goes hard all the time. That's why he's so dominant. Because while other guys in the regular season are lollygagging, this guy's going hard 100% all the time. So Giannis is great to me. But, yo, the media can't keep taking BS from Giannis like that. Yo, this the season wasn't a failure talk. Is Michael Jordan a failure because, you know, he only won 6 championships? Nah, man, the season was a failure. Season was a failure, Giannis. All right? I don't want to hear nothing. Like, if you're the one seed with championship expectations, and you get kicked out in 5 games, and I know he was hurt, but still, you get kicked out in 5 games by the 8 seed? Season's a failure, bro. You fronting to us. Like, when I go to the gym once a week, if I'm on a good team and I expect to, like, win 3-4 games, I'm upset and we're upset if we lose the first game. And now we got to wait 5 games downs to get back on the court. Or if it's too many downs, we go home and got to wait for the next week. I'm upset. We failed, bro. We failed. So Giannis was expected to run the court, and he didn't. He failed. And now he got to wait till next season. I'm sure it's eating him up, so he gave, like, this answer that the media gobbled up. You failed, bro. And it's not – your career is not a failure. For this series, this year, you failed. Your team failed. The Bucks were a failure, bro. Ain't no other way around it. Don't give me that philosophical talk. Ooh. Or is it really a failure? No, you failed. Yeah, it's a failure. You failed, bro. That's what it is. And it's crazy to me watching the media gobble the stuff up that he's saying. Oh, people making excuses. Oh, he's a big picture thinker and, you know, he grew up poor and greets. And listen, man, LeBron James grew up poor. Nobody ever felt bad for LeBron getting asked tough questions. Media used to ask some of the dumbest questions to LeBron. And if he ever said anything, any answer that wasn't what they expected, they clown him. So don't give me that, oh, he has a big picture. Nah, we didn't allow LeBron to be big picture. We crucified this dude whenever he lost, even if it was in an unfair matchup. So when he lost to the Warriors, even though his team wasn't up to par, people still blasted him and asked stupid questions. even though the team he carried on his back to the finals really shouldn't have been there. Don't give Giannis that out. It was a failure, bro. It's okay. Like, when the Heat lost to the Mavs, that was a failure. He deserved that one. He deserved to be blasted. LeBron deserved to be blasted on that one. But when they lost to the Warriors, they shouldn't. You can't blast him. But he got all the stupid questions, and he had to answer them, or else if he said anything that wasn't the answer we expected, he got blasted. But when Giannis says it, oh, well, big picture, I get it. Nah, man. Your season failed. Sitting there playing hot potato at the end of the game, costing your team games. You got to get better, Giannis. You do. Scared to get fired to go to the free throw line. That your best player at the end of the game can't be playing hot potato. Like LeBron in that Mavs series in 11, he was playing hot potato. The whole fourth quarter of that series, all the fourth quarters of that series, like he didn't want the ball. And he rightly got crucified, bro. You're the best in the game. Don't give up the ball like that. So, yeah, Giannis, great player. You failed, bro. Your team failed. This season was a failure. Now you got to wait 5 games for downs, or you got to go home and come back next week to hoop like I do. Nothing is more frustrating than being on the court with a team you think you guys got a good squad, and then you lose to somebody you shouldn't lose to. It's frustrating. It hurts. And you spend the whole time you're waiting for next, you spend the whole time arguing about whose fault it was, bro. That junk hurts. So I know it hurts, Giannis. Forget that big philosophical talk, bro. Just come out and say, yeah, we failed. We failed, man. You were a failure. This season, you were a failure. Still great, but you were a failure. I know I'm going on, man. I can't help it. Not only did they choke, but the media gave him an out. You failed, Giannis. Sorry, man. All right, I'm going to get off that one. The Celtics. The Celtics are disappointing. They didn't impress me. There's no way the Hawks should get 2 on them. Ain't no way. But they did. Still settling for jump shots. And now, they're already down 1-0 to the Sixers without Joel Embiid. How? People are going to blame the coaching. Whatever, man. Your best players got to be your best players. And they got to take over. I'm not going to lie, man. As much as I love Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, sometimes I wonder, man, like, what is up? I can't blame coaching, bro. You guys are on the court, ball in your hands half the time, most of the time. Do something. Go win the game. You can't let Trae Young beat you by himself, essentially. By the way, shout out to Trae Young. So people clown the Hawks for the Luka trade and you know, draft night several years back and giving, you know, Luka to Dallas and trading him for Trae Young. People are, oh yeah, Dallas won the trade. No. At this point, that trade is a toss-up. And if you ask me, I'm taking Trae Young over Luka. Yeah, I said it. First of all, if I'm playing with them, I would hate playing with Luka. Luka is now and I've said it before, the Houston version of James Harden, who dribbles for 20 seconds and shoots or passes to you at the last second and expect you to be in rhythm. Yeah, he puts up numbers, but I wouldn't want to play with that. I'd much rather play with Trae Young. He does his pick and roll. He sets up lobs for Capella. I'd much rather. He's more creative than me. People talk about his attitude, like Luka got a great attitude. Nah. Give me Trae, I don't care. But props to Trae Young, because in the biggest of big moments, the dude shows up. He carried them a couple years back in that New York series. And he made them respectable against the Celtics, who were championship contenders. Big props to Trae Young, man. I'm a fan. I am. And lastly, in the East, I'm still not impressed by the Sixers, even though they beat the Celtics last night without Giannis. Shout out to James Harden, 45 in game one of round two. But I was impressed with that win, that series win, even though they swept the Nets. I didn't think they would. I was wrong with that one. I thought that series would drag on just for the hell of it. But they did get rid of the Nets pretty quickly in 4-0. But I wasn't impressed. A couple games, the Nets made them sweat for no reason. Had Mikal Bridges looking like second coming. And Mikal is a baller now. I didn't know he was like that. Mikal Bridges is like that. But still, Sixers made him look all time. So shout out to Mikal Bridges. The Nets gave him all they could, but I'm not impressed by the Sixers. All right? They gotta show me something. So the Nets and the Sixers, sorry, the Sixers and the Celtics, both unimpressive, are playing each other now. Neither of them can play like they did in the second round and actually expect to win. They both sus, all right? They won their series, but neither of them are going to win a championship playing like that. All right, so that was round one recap. I apologize for getting on my soapbox here, but man, them damn Grizzlies, man. I'm sorry, I can't watch. Was it episode 3? The saddest thing in life is wasted talent from A Bronx Tale. The Grizzlies are the definition of the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. And I can't get over watching talented people, talented teams just blow it away. Because you don't know when you'll be back. I know this ain't football where cats are injured and you don't know. In basketball, the likelihood is, you know, your team's going to stick together because the contracts are guaranteed, you know, this and that. But you don't know, man. You can get hurt next year. ACL, something like, you got to capitalize in the moment when you have them. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, Ja's hand was hurt. Nah, man, that even if Ja was healthy, that team was not going to beat the Lakers because they're just lacking. And I know I went back to the Grizzlies. I said I was done with them. And I just can't watch bad basketball from players. This will be better. I expect more. All right, round two. Before I go to round two, let me say this. Round one, back to the Bucks. Jimmy Butler is ridiculous. In the regular season, Jimmy Butler, I guess he's coasting. He's one of the coasters, which I'm surprised that he's admitted to that. He'd be coasting. But in the playoffs, he's an animal, a whole different animal. And I don't know if there's five players in the league you take above playoff Jimmy right now. And he wasn't even an all-star this year. Like, this cat, he gets it. And he's not out there shooting a whole bunch of threes, even though when he gets hot, he makes a couple, but he's mid-range and in. Just smart basketball, tough basketball, defense, offense, complete cat. Shout out to playoff Jimmy, man. That dude is real. And now he's hurt for game two against the Knicks. They already beat him game one. He's hurt for game two. We'll see how long he sits out. But shout out to Jimmy, man. All right, round two. We'll stick with the Heat then. Again, I'm not going to go too in-depth with this because I don't know what I'm talking about, clearly. Who does? You can't predict this stuff. You don't know who's actually going to play, who's going to show up. So, Knicks versus Heat. I'm thinking the Knicks could get him in seven, y'all. But here's what needs to happen. RJ Barrett needs to actually be consistent. Because the Heat are smart enough to, well, Randall's hurt. We'll see when he comes back. But the Heat are smart enough to take Brunson and kind of take him away or make it tough for him. Jalen Brunson. Spo smart enough to do that. That he can do that. So if Randall's out, which I hope he comes back, if they're going to have a chance. But RJ Barrett needs to do something, man. He's inconsistent. In and out. And his game is limited. People don't want to say that, but his game is really limited. But he's going to have to ball out, find a way to ball out, get to the free throw line, D up. Josh Hart is going to be D'ing up Jimmy Butler when Jimmy's playing. But let's say Josh Hart gets in foul trouble. RJ is going to have to be that guy to stick him. Can he? I hope so. He has the frame. So I got the Knicks in seven for the whatever reason. I don't know how the Heat with that team can go to the conference finals. So if I'm the Knicks, Kevin Love and Robinson can't play, meaning I am playing them off the court. They are getting put in every single pick and roll. Every time. And I'm getting either a layup or a foul out of it. So they can't be on the court. So whenever they're on the court, their plus minuses has to be negative. So they're playing, they have to play them off the court. So then they have limited shooting left on the court. Right? Tyler Hero's out. So that's my strategy. Hopefully Julius plays. RJ Barrett needs the ball. But whenever Kevin Love and Robinson plays, play him off the court immediately. Go right at him. Sixers and Celtics. Like I said, those two, disappointing. I have the Celtics in six. I'm not confident. I'm not confident at all. I'm not confident at all in that pick. Actually, either way, I'm not confident either way. I can't trust either team, man. What the hell is going on? I need Jalen and Jason to lock in and be the best versions of themselves. For me to be confident. Otherwise, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So for the Sixers to win this series, they could just trick Tatum and Brown and settle for long jump shots, long threes, instead of attacking the rim. All right? And if for whatever reason, James Harden continues to do that, then the Sixers can win. But technically, the Celtics have the better team. The Celtics have the best roster left in the playoffs. And if they don't win a championship, forget the coach, it's on the players. Nuggets and Suns. I thought the Suns would win in six before the series started. They're probably going home in five. They have no bench. They have zero bench. I thought they'd be able to take advantage of Jokic and pick and rolls, but they can't. So Booker is going to get his. KD's probably going to get his for the most part, right? But the bench sucks in Phoenix. They gave up everything to get KD. And honestly, I said this before the first round, they still don't have the chemistry. They still don't have great chemistry. So KD gets his, Book gets his, but I still don't see the chemistry. And Ayton, DeAndre Ayton, I don't want to say this, but this man be playing soft. He be playing too soft for how big he is. Like, go dunk the ball, bro. Like, go block a shot. Like, he should be more physically dominant than he is. I know it's an insult for some people to hear that they're soft, but he's playing soft. He plays soft. So I think they might go home in five. And if they get swept, KD gets swept back-to-back years, whoa. Media is going to go bananas. It's not going to be pretty. So that's my round two selections. Well, wait, one more. Hold on. Too quick. One more. The Nuggets and Suns. So I said the Suns in six beforehand. Nuggets probably in five. Hopefully it goes longer than that. I really want to see the Suns move on to the finals, right? Because I want to see KD on that stage again. Warriors and Lakers. The Lakers probably have the better team overall. Talking about suspect benches, the Warriors bench is suspect. Neither team can play like they did last series and expect to win. So on paper, I think the Lakers probably should win, but I'm going to go with the Warriors. Warriors in six. I think the Warriors, they're smart basketball players. And again, you can never count them out. But it's something about playing against LeBron that gets the best out of, brings the best out of these cats, dog. Klay, Steph, Draymond, it's something again. Something about playing against LeBron where these cats show up. So I expect their best. All right? I expect them to come out to play. And I don't think the Lakers have the firepower of the Kings. So they should be able to score with them. Vanderbilt's probably going to be lined up on Steph. We'll see how that goes. But Steph runs around a million picks, so it's hard for just one guy to guard him. So I got Warriors in six. That one was tough, too. Like I said, I think the Lakers have the better team. I don't think there's a good matchup for Anthony Davis on the Warriors. Like, Draymond's a great defender and all, but if Anthony Davis puts his mind to it, he's unstoppable. We'll see. I'm surprised, like I said, they won the Grizzlies series, even though AD wasn't really playing like that. I was surprised. So I think it's Warriors in six, though. So to recap, I got Knicks. I got Celtics. I guess I'll take the Nuggets now, even though I had the Suns. I'm not going back and forth waffling. I'm like these guys on TV. I can't make up my mind. And I got the Warriors in six. So playoffs continue. Great basketball still ahead. And I'm hoping the Cats, who are supposed to be great, actually play great and show up in the second round. All right, you guys, that's all I had today. Appreciate y'all listening once again, watching YouTube, wherever you are. I'm going to catch you next time. Right, film. Sports in the Bush. Peace. I'm going straight to the top.